Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode. We spend a lot of time talking about how important it is to take care of your mental health. Therapy is an excellent way to do that. BetterHelp is an affordable mental health care option that fits right into your busy schedule. Just answer a few quick questions about your needs and preferences, and BetterHelp will match you with one of the thousands of experienced mental health professionals in their network. You can talk to your therapist over text, chat, phone, or video. You get to pick what works best for you, your comfort, and your schedule. If you feel like your therapist isn't the right fit, BetterHelp makes it easy to switch to someone new at no additional cost. So give it a try and see why over 2 million people have used BetterHelp online therapy. BetterHelp is offering our listeners 10% off their first month of therapy. Just go to betterhelp.com/musicspeaks to get started. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/musicspeaks to get 10% off your first month of therapy.
Hey guys, we wanted to take a quick minute to tell you about our recent partnership with the Amazing Bones Coffee Company.
Let's face it, you're probably sick and tired of drinking that old plain Jane coffee brand every morning. Well, fret not, dear listener. Bones Coffee is here to kick your taste buds into high gear.
Bones Coffee has a wide variety of flavors to choose from, including maple bacon, peaches and spring, island grog, and my personal favorite, chocolate raspberry.
Once you become hooked on the coffee, you'll be excited to learn that they have plenty of merch options to choose from as well. T-shirts, mugs, tote bags, the list goes on.
You can buy their coffee in whole bean, ground, and even evil single serve options.
Guys, we wouldn't lie to you. This coffee is great, and we know that you're going to love it too, which is why we have partnered up with Bones Coffee, and now our listeners have an exclusive discount code.
Make sure to use the code MUSICSPEAKS at checkout for 10% off your order.
That's right, James. Go to bonescoffee.com to kickstart your new coffee addiction and use the code MUSICSPEAKS for 10% off today. If you're anything like me, free time is limited. So things like yard work are just not doable. And if you're also like me, you don't even own a lawnmower. That is why All Above Landscaping is the right choice. All Above includes a variety of options when it comes to your landscaping needs, including lawn installation, design, irrigation, debris removal, maintenance, and much more. If you're in the city of Sumter and you're looking for reliable service at a friendly price, give All Above Landscaping a call today. It's 803-464-7414. Mention that you heard this ad on this podcast and you'll get a special discount on your first service. Again, that's 803-464-7414. Call All Above Landscaping today. Like so many of you, we battle depression through life's ups and downs.
Music has always been the one thing we could rely on to get us through the tough times we all face.
Follow us on our journey as we discuss the healing power of music, share our stories through songs and lyrics,
interview musicians and other artists,
break down genres,
deep dive into band biographies,
and much, much more.
This is the Woodward Fail
Music Speaks Podcast
with Blake Mosley,
James Todd,
and Amanda Dolan.
Hey everybody, welcome to Woodward Fail Music Speaks Podcast, where we fight depression with the power of music. I'm your handicapped host, James Cox. I have a great interview today. I didn't expect both of the guys to be here, but I'm glad they are. We got Jeff Niebuhr.
Yes. Yep.
And Heath Cobb from the band Heiko Jenny. I've been told it's pronounced many ways, but that's the way I'm going to pronounce it because they allowed me to pronounce it that way.
Perfect.
Jeff and Heath, how are you doing today?
Good, buddy.
That's awesome.
Thanks for having us, James.
All right, thank you for coming on. There's many versions of pronunciation. So what's the most like weirdest way your band has been pronounced?
We saw some people in I think India pronounce Heiko Jenny.
Yeah.
Something okay. like the emphasis was on the third syllable, Heiko Jenny.
I think it sounds like some kind of weird Eastern philosophy anyway. So I like it.
Yeah. Yeah. So according to y'all, what is the correct pronunciation? How do y'all pronounce it?
Well, I pronounce it Heiko Jenny, but I like Heiko Jenny.
Okay.
I like them all.
Yeah. And I don't really pronounce it. I just kind of ride his coattails.
Oh no! So he's the mastermind, and you're just what, the, like the singer or something.
100% mastermind, yeah. Right here.
All right.
Not true.
So not true at all. So Luke and Yola, y'all met at the Auburn University in Alabama. Is that correct? All right.
I have a funny story. We just found this out in the last year. So this is way back in 85, maybe. Heath was living in Montgomery. I was living in Auburn. We didn't know each other. We were in middle school, high school.
Didn't know each other. Didn't know we were going
to
know each other.
We happened to, both of us went to our first concert at the same place.
Same place. Weird band. I was a Fat Boys fan, which was a human beatbox, you know, back in the day.
Fat Boys, yes.
Yeah, I was
yes.
a Houdini fan.
Houdini.
So it was New Edition was a headliner. So it was Fat Boys, Houdini, New Edition.
Very first concert my parents ever let me go to. And
same with me. And so we didn't find this out until like a year ago. We were just talking about our first concerts. And I was like, well, mine was Houdini. And he's Fat Boys. So I was like, I think I was there. I thought I was at another city. And right. then we went and looked at setlist.fm and like, nope, the only city was Montgomery. And then I looked at my scrapbook and I had the ticket stub.
Yeah.
From, you know, 40 years ago. It's crazy.
I saw it as a wink from the universe. We were both kind of getting our beaks wet the same show. And it was fate kind of reeling us in.
About
so.
4 years later is when we met at Auburn.
Yeah. Crazy. And then didn't find this out for another 30 years. So.
Yeah.
Meant to be.
So it would be great to say music brought y'all two together, which is great for anybody.
That's absolutely true.
And I'm amazed that you brought up the Fat Boys, because I used to love the Fat Boys back in the day, because I used to buy, okay, because I went to the store with my grandma, and I was buying the album with her, the song Wipeout. I can't remember which one it was. But my grandma was very hesitant because she saw the word hell, you know. And I'm like, I'm never gonna listen to that song, Grandma. I'm gonna listen to Wipeout all the time. And she's like, well, okay, well, I mean, if you get caught, you know, I'm gonna, you know, rip you a new one. And I never listened to that song ever. And
nice.
Since great mind,
to this
James.
Day, I've never even heard it, listened to that song. So, okay. So thank you so much for bringing up the Fat Boys, which is no one ever talks about him, and I'm wondering why, you know, because
he invented the human beatbox.
Yeah,
jailhouse rap. Wish I could do it, but
I loved it. They were called the Disco Three before they were called the Fat Boys. Rick Rubin renamed them the Fat Boys.
I did not know this.
Rick Rubin. Okay. Okay. Cool. So Jeff, you are the bassist in the band.
I play a little guitar, a little bass. Yep.
Okay, and he does the guitar, singer, and are you the drummer?
No, I don't claim to be a singer. It's just kind of happened.
Okay.
The band Jeff and I played in college, it was more traditional. Jeff was bass, I was guitar. Now here we are later, and we're switching up instruments. We're kind of playing everything from percussion to bass to guitar. I mean, just depends on what the song is. You're doing a lot of writing. We're doing all originals, you know, and it's you don't really set out to do a song a certain way, it kind of creates itself. So that also kind of dictates who's playing what.
Right. So y'all are a multi-instrumentalist.
Yes, sir. Okay. Yep.
So both of y'all play the drums. And the drums is like, but the I don't know if it's my first favorite instrument or the guitar, but I tend to go through those two together. According to y'all, for listeners who want to begin playing any instrument, what would be better, playing first or learning first, the guitar or drums?
Bass.
Piano, really?
Bass. Well, yeah, bass is,
bass
yeah.
Bass is only four strings.
Four strings,
you
yes,
You only
sir.
Play one note at a time.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
He's got a good point.
The problem with that, and Heath and I realized this when we were in the previous band, the Chill Bumps was our previous band.
Yes.
If you're playing rhythm guitar, you can quit playing for about 30 seconds and nobody even knows. But if the bass misses one note, everybody in the band stares at you, mad.
I'll do that death stare, right?
Yeah, so the bass is the most important instrument. So probably is to pick up.
Spoken like a true bass player.
Yeah, because
Have you played bass, James?
I have not. I've tried playing guitar. I do have a PRS and a
drummer.
I need to go back to learning how to play guitar because when my first guitar teacher tried to teach me, he yelled at me, you know. And once you get yelled at, you're like, I never want to do this again. It's the same thing with food. You know, once the food makes you sick, you're like, I never want to eat that
again.
Damn, man. So I really need to start learning how to play guitar again.
That was bad luck having a mean.
Yeah, he was. Apparently, he was mean to a lot of people because my mom. Because my mom went back there and told the manager, and he's like, "Yeah, we've had problems with this guy." And so I don't think he lasted long there. Right? Yeah. So good job, mom. You know, thank you, mom, for that. You know, but she was furious. You know that he yelled at me, and the manager got an earful. So, yeah. But I've been listening to a lot of your stuff on SoundCloud.
Cool.
And Heath, I think you sung on "If I Was Your Neighbor." Is that correct?
Oh man,
or was that Jeff?
So all of these are kind of works in progress. I would never. Release anything.
Yes, that's you singing on that song.
But, okay, yeah. Okay. But that was my main question because I don't know if anybody told you this before, but you sound like Tom Petty in that one, man.
Oh, nice. You're too kind, James.
No, I swear to God, dude. It sounds just like Tom Petty, brother. I'm not pulling your chain.
That's a great song. Heath wrote that song. Hell yeah. The whole piece. It's great.
That's great.
You like
that's
it? What'd you think?
Yeah. Okay. I love everything that y'all do. But okay, but my question to you is you have one full album on SoundCloud, which is WIP, I think it's WIP.
Work in progress.
Okay, so that's an acronym.
Nothing is ready yet.
No. Oh, okay.
If it were up to me, it would never be ready. And if it were up to Jeff, they'd all be out in the ether.
Okay. Yeah. Because y'all have, I counted the songs y'all have 26 songs that are
all those are singles.
All those are on there. 26 of them.
Awesome.
But you have one album, Work in Progress, the WIP. Mm-hmm. But my question to you is, and I think you answered already, why isn't there, why is there 26 singles and not like four full blue albums with that 26 together?
So they're there waiting to be released as singles. This is our strategy. We'll release a single probably in the next month.
Okay.
We'll have one and we'll release it to Spotify and it'll be available everywhere. And then 6 weeks later, we'll release another and we'll just keep doing that cadence.
Yeah, because I saw you 10 days ago, you released Writing the Mergo.
That's right. Yeah. Okay. That'll probably be our first song we release.
So technically, the first song was a Christmas song. We got an assignment in July to write a Christmas song, and we didn't know or not whether it would be accepted. They were only picking 12, and it kind of made the cut. So I would call it being it was published in right before Christmas, Black Friday, Thanksgiving, and so that was kind of the first song that I've said, okay, we're not going to touch it again, but actually I want to change the words and make it a beat song. But anyway, that's another story for another time. But anyway, that was kind of the first song that, you know, it was finished.
Got to other people.
Right. So we're going to, so a lot of bands now are releasing singles after singles. They're not releasing albums because nobody listens to a full blown album.
Right. Well,
I do. And I'm very, very rare of the breed that does listen to full-blown music, full-blown albums, you know. And I guess
we'll go single, 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 probably six singles, seven singles, and then we'll do an album of probably 10, 12 songs.
Yeah, but you got 26 songs on SoundCloud, brother.
I don't like all of them.
We'll go right back and go single, single, single.
Yeah, right, yeah.
So we have a bit of an assembly line, right? Some songs are just need mixing, mastering. Some songs need to rework. Some songs are just barely started.
Right. Yeah.
And so we work on all aspects of that assembly line and getting to that single release strategy.
Right. Right. Heath, I'm going to go off what you said earlier about you not releasing any songs again until it's perfected. I find you as like a slight perfectionist. And Jeff is like, let's get in the go, you know. So when does Heath know that a song is done, and when does Jeff know that your song is done? And I'm going to go.
Good question. You answer first.
I don't think I ever think it's done. I mean,
that's the bane of a musician, man. You know,
in college, the old band, we actually went into a studio, Exocet Studios in Atlanta, and had a producer and had the whole little team behind it and plenty of time to practice, and put out this CD, and I still can't really listen to it.
Yeah.
So I mean, I'm fighting my own inner demons with it, and it's kind of my personality type. I'm lucky to have Jeff on the other end. It's completely opposite in the spectrum that we get something creative and something down, and he can let anybody listen to it and critique it. Maybe I'm just I have a problem with criticism, but Jeff's good at that. So it's kind of a good team we've got in terms of being able to actually get stuff done.
Right. Yeah. Jeff, how do you know when the song is done?
I released an album with my then girlfriend, now wife. She and I did a COVID album under the name My Forever DJ. And I would listen to it on walks. I walk every day. And I would take notes, and at 1 minute and 12 seconds, there's a snare hit that's wrong, or 2 minutes and 12 seconds, the bass does not come in on the right note. So then I'd go back and fix it. And I did that for probably a month. There was, I think we had 12 songs on that album. That was an album. And then I got to where it didn't offend me. It's not perfect, right?
Yeah,
It was all recorded in a mobile recording studio on location throughout the South at very important places. Like we recorded at a big bar in Alabama called the Florabama. We recorded in the parking lot. We recorded on the streets of Shreveport. We recorded at like Sun Studios. And so we were doing all these kind of road recordings. So it's not like a perfectionist Steely Dan, right?
Right. Yeah.
It was just a lot closer to actual live music. And I loved it, but it didn't need to be perfect, right? And so I feel like with the coach and I, it's a little bit more studio than that record was. But I think art needs to be released and experienced by others. Yeah. And I believe that there's an iterative process of creation, recording, refinement, release, and then right back to creation, recording, refinement, release. And that cycle is going to be what is interesting, I think, about Hikoji and I, is a consistency of sorts of, every 6 weeks you're going to hear a new single released worldwide.
So James, what everybody's got their own definition of what makes a song a good song, a great song, and I think it all depends on the individual. Some people it's the complicated composition of the song. Some people it's for example, for me, a great song is something that after you listen to it, you're humming it in the car, or you're singing it in the shower. Yeah. It has nothing to do with sometimes the most simple songs are the best. Yeah. What do you look for in music? What are some of the things that you like?
Honestly, I just look for the before the intro, because when you listen to the song, you can hear if it's going to be good or bad during the first few seconds of the song,
That's right. Yeah.
Like Thunderstruck or Hell Bells going off like AC/DC. Because
I'm a big fan.
Highway to Hell. Oh, my God.
Grandma let you listen.
No, she can't now because she passed away 20 years ago or something. I'm
she's
not
still
sure.
Around.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She's great. She's great. So, yeah. But my mom, don't let my mom hear that. But she knows I listen to all kinds of music. But yeah. But it's introduction, because you're either going to stick to it after the introduction or not.
Yeah.
But my friend from, of Texas could do something, have a different answer,
No, I like it. I feel you on that.
That's, yeah, yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, the introduction is where I'm mostly at. Yeah, but
it's like the TikTokification of music.
Like, yes.
If the TikTok doesn't get you in 4 seconds, you're off to the next one, man.
I would never understand TikTok. I'm on it.
I love it.
You love it? Okay. Yeah. Because I understand that I guess that's why people now come, musicians now come out with singles instead of full albums, because they're so, what's the word, fast paced to look at stuff, you know? If it's not there in like 6 seconds, who cares?
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah.
So
that's part of what you got to try to capture. Music now is so different than it was 30 years ago when Jeff and I first started doing this.
Yeah.
Not necessarily music, but how you present it and what's effective and what isn't. It's just a whole different ball game. That's, you know, I wouldn't know where to begin. That's why.
No.
You've got a podcast, so obviously you're right in the middle of it. Jeff's very aware of what's going on, and I'm just kind of walking around without even a phone. I'm, you know, I'm not real happy with technology these days.
Now. No, they're, yeah.
But it is what it is. You either ride the wave or you get left behind. So
there you go. And you have Jeff to ask, you know, what to do here. So no. That's great, you know.
Nice.
Yeah, what to do here. So,
well, I think that's one thing that's changed a lot is, you know, we talked about going into the studio. It was all our money in the world. We rented it at night because it was cheaper.
Yeah.
I think we only had 5 nights of studio time. But here we have our own studio and a not even crazy expensive Mac. And all of a sudden you have world-class studio.
Infinite amount of takes.
Yeah.
You That's could the just, problem for me yeah. because I would use all of
it. Yeah, because you're perfect. Yeah.
But it's been fun. You know, you hear about the Beatles being a studio band, right?
Yeah.
And experimenting. The studio is another instrument. And that really didn't happen the first time we recorded. But it's happening now where we're like, what if we did a salsa beat on this song?
Yeah.
Or
scratching.
What if we, you know, what if we changed the guitar, the chorus and the verse?
Right.
It's like that stuff you couldn't do when you're paying, you know, $800 an hour or whatever at a studio. But when it's your kind of studio and you got your own stuff, why not? Why not?
So. You brought up a very good thing I'm going to ask you. So a lot of people are doing, makeshift studios. Like, I don't want to offend y'all, but makeshift studios because you're making your own studio, you know? If someone is listening to the podcast, to this episode, and say, hey, I want to create a studio, right? What would be the, like, the four basic things you need? I know it's the computer, guitar, drums, you know, those are the essentials.
I don't think you need drums or guitar, really.
Okay.
Back to your earlier question where Heath answered piano. There's a lot of truth to that. If you had a Mac interface, a microphone, and a keyboard, you're off and running.
Okay, yeah.
In fact, you know, like one of the knocks of the Heath approach, which is never release. He's like, by the time I saw a TikTok guy, and he's like, by the time you've re-recorded your, you know, third layer of guitar for the 12th time, some kid is in a closet with an iPhone releasing a song that's going to become a hit. Right. He's like,
right.
You know, it's the song. It's the song that's important. It's not really even, you know, the technology is so good. This technology is so good compared to what was there 30, 40, 50 years ago. At some level, I mean, I've seen the rooms with hundreds of thousands of dollars of gear, and I'm sure that all adds value. But
at the end of the day,
it's the song.
It's the song.
Can you write a hook? That's interesting.
Because
the sort of message that you want to share with the world.
I never thought about the keyboard scene being more proficient than the guitar or any other.
Well, more versatile.
I just said, once you learn piano, you can kind of switch to any instrument. Different, you know, ways you're going to be holding the music. But no, if you know piano notes, you know piano theory, you can pick up a guitar and learn it. You can pick up a bass and learn it. You can got to count for some drums, everything. Kind of universal instrument in my opinion. Now, can I play a piano? No.
No, I can't either. My sister can a little bit, you know, but I don't think that's instruments you play like once and forget it, you know, because I think you could always come back like riding a bicycle, you know.
Yep.
I guess instruments are or made that way, so you will never forget how to actually, you know, which is good, you know.
Well, plus with MIDI, once you're playing a piano, you can play any instrument.
Yeah.
You have some songs, like I got to play an oboe. I don't play piano really well, but I can pick out a few notes. So I'm like, let's play oboe on this song.
Yeah, so we got a song with oboe in it that Jeff's doing from a piano.
It'd be cool to learn the oboe, but it was a lot easier to play it on a piano.
Yeah, you can't really see it behind us, but we've got a warehouse of instruments. I mean, we've even got a sitar in here. So, I mean, a lot of this stuff we're not even using yet. You know, we're doing a lot of stuff, you know, electronically, but I'm kind of excited to dig into some of the other things that we've got going on. Like the sitar, I you know, that's going to be interesting. You know, Beatlesque.
Yeah. A sitar is a Indian instrument, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
I bought it in India.
Oh, that, okay. Yeah.
That was cool.
Nice.
It's a gourd.
Yeah.
Almost like a guitar neck, but instead of frets, it's like these wires that you pull the string across to give you that. And then it has about 8 strings that you never pluck.
Bend them, right.
Nope, they just resonate. As you're playing, they start to vibrate, and they give that weird, almost like an old electric shaver.
Right. Yeah. That's cool. A perfect explanation. Yeah. But like we said before, Yeoman and University of Alabama. But
Auburn, don't even. Blasphemy.
Oh, I'm sorry, man. I suck with names, you know. So first, your band was the Teal Bombs.
That's right.
Okay, so can you explain what that was and how did it become?
Yeah, Jeff put it together. You
go ahead. No, you go ahead.
The Teal Bombs, college band Jeff put together, he formed it. We had a few members that got fired. It kind of took a minute for it to get the Teal Bombs, actually, or the Teal Bombs. But we started off a cover band and just a quick thumbnail sketch, played a fraternity party, switched to originals, wound up drawing a pretty big crowd, which I'm kind of scared of crowds.
Right.
Ironic.
Yeah.
And we had an agent out of, was it Nashville, Memphis, Nashville?
Nashville.
Who was basically, we were decent enough where he could book us as much as we wanted to play. So their second half of college, it was kind of all of our jobs. And we had weeks where we'd play 4 or 5 nights a week. We had some pretty large crowds sometimes. I mean, a couple thousand people. It was really good. We wanted, Jeff and I especially wanted to continue doing this after we graduated, but that's the problem. Everybody in the band started graduating and started actually making money.
Real money.
Right.
And, I was the last one not to graduate, and anyway, the band kind of died in there. Did I explain enough?
Sure,
enough?
Yeah.
It
was great. We played all over the Southeast.
All over the Southeast.
South Carolina, Tennessee, Mississippi, Florida, Georgia, Alabama. It was great.
Yeah, and it got in our blood, you know, now, so it's neat that we're, you know, able to kind of reapproach this.
Right, yeah. So I have 5 more questions, and so the first three, the first two is going to be real fun, and the last three is going to be hard. Okay.
Right. I don't like how this is going.
I know. I put you in the moment, right? Okay. So first, fun to play for, right? If the band's music were in a soundtrack or a movie genre, what genre would be the best fit? You know.
Oh, cool. You're talking about
Hecatini?
Yeah. Yep. Soundtrack.
So, Jeff asked AI what we were similar to, and I don't know which song he did, but Gorillaz is what AI was saying. So, you know, maybe I could see it being a beach type music, movie. Is that the question? Did I answer that right?
Sure.
Oh, what do you think, Jeff?
I think some of our music is a bit dark, a little noir, a little tension. So mystery thriller.
So James, you mentioned you like AC/DC. I'm a headbanger. I love grunge. I'm a rock and roller. I mean, that's what I listen to when I run, when I work out. That's what I listen to.
Yeah.
But our music that we're making is it makes itself.
Yeah.
We don't go into maybe I kind of do. I'm going to go into writing a rock song, and I try to come up with that, and then it just turns into whatever it wants to be. So it's been really kind of interesting this time around because some of it is. I would say almost old blue eyes, Frank Sinatra-ish, Some of it is pop, some of it is rock, some of it's kind of, you know, country a little sounding. So it's just kind of, it's hard to put a label on what
Right,
I
right. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. okay, so we're going to talk about concept albums real fast. And this is another fun question for y'all, okay? If you could collaborate with a non-musician to create a concept album, or if y'all could collaborate with any kind of musician to create a concept album, you know, a story-involved album, who would it be? And what kind of project would you envision for this?
I think I'm going to choose musician, and I would choose Mike Mills, who's a bass player for REM.
Okay.
And that's who I would choose.
Yeah. Mm. And what and like what kind of like sound would that sound like to you?
Yeah, I think it would be a journey. Like I believe in the universal story of the Odyssey, as life is a journey, and as you're arriving at places, whether that's physical places or metaphorical places, there's challenges that. I believe part of our role in life is to face those challenges and overcome them and get to the next place, again, physically or metaphorically.
Yeah.
Nice. So that would be, we could name the band Journey.
It's not a fun question.
Oh, come on now. I try to make it fun for y'all, you know.
I it would be between two folks for me, either Chuck D or Maynard James Keenan. So, I you know, and both of them would be very intimidating for me. Yeah.
Right.
But you've got Chuck D that mixes, you know, they rock.
Yeah.
If you look at Channel Zero and some of the stuff that they did with Anthrax. And then you got Maynard James Keenan, to me, which really brings, and I just saw a Fear Inoculum show in North Carolina. But he brings, you know, kind of a spiritual edge to the music. I mean, his lyrics are just really deep and a lot of different layers to it. So, you know, I could draw from both of those.
Yeah. I still understand why it takes them so long to make a Tool album, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it's from 2,000 years to Fear, it took like 13 years.
Yeah.
And then we're still waiting for a new one.
Do you not, you know, some of his other groups that he had, Pussifer and A Perfect Circle.
Yeah.
You know, so he was still putting stuff out there.
Well, yeah, but everybody loves Tool. I love Tool the best out of all three of them, you know, and I'm sure you do too, you know. Yeah, so they're great. Okay. So this is going to be an easy question, I guess, for both of y'all, okay? If we're in, okay, it's good, we'll go way back when to y'all's high school days, okay? And we're looking around the room, what kind of music poster are we looking at?
Mine's Beastie Boys.
Beastie Boys, yes. I love, yeah.
I've been a Beastie Boys fan since they came out and still to this day. Beastie Boys and REM, for me, and I did a whole podcast on this, are tied for the greatest American group of all time.
Right.
And that they created or influenced genres. They influenced society. They had hits in three decades, and they were just incredible, both of them. So Beastie Boys was high school, REM was college, and Hikoji and I is going to be a bastard child of REM and the Beastie Boys.
There you go. Yeah.
Mine's not near as cool as his.
Come on.
I mean, I almost hate to admit it, but I was
Backstreet
like
– Boys.
Come on.
Baby, Backstreet Boys have some good clutch songs.
Good too.
Yeah.
No, I was like hair band, Cinderella, Bon Jovi. What
nice.
Else? What else was there? Dawkins.
Great White.
Great White. What's the one you always make fun of me? Crocus.
Crocus.
Yeah. So I don't know what was wrong with me. Troubled kid.
I actually interviewed the guitarist for Great White.
Oh, cool, man.
He was
like one of the best.
He was such a dude. He was perfect. Yeah. He's very good on guitar, too. Yeah.
That's cool, man.
That's
neat.
Okay. So let's do like a Mount Rushmore of your top four favorite bands. I know He says, this is not fun at
I
all.
named two of them.
One or two out of your four.
Yeah, so Tool and Public Enemy, the old school, and then I guess I'm trying to think what I listen to now. Audio Slave and what was their other band? I like Chris Cornell a lot, or he's not around anymore, but
Rage Against the Machine,
Soundgarden.
well, I listen to Soundgarden. Thank you.
Soundgarden, yeah.
And like that's probably where I would go with that. Is
No,
that any
yeah,
four?
Soundgarden is a bad
I'm
band,
gonna
dude.
go REM, Beastie Boys. Then I'm probably gonna go the Connells out of North
Yeah, I love them
Carolina,
too.
and then the Clash.
Clash,
That's
Camp, yes. What other great eight bands, because I totally forgot about the Clash,
they're
the
right up
theater
there.
over there. Yeah,
London
so.
Calling may be the best album of all time.
Yes,
Like
yes,
it's like
yeah.
20 songs. They're all no skips. It's
Yeah,
incredible.
that's amazing. That's another question that you mentioned that I'm gonna bring up to you. What's your number one favorite album that's like non-skippable? All
Favorite album of
favorite
all time,
album of
or
all time. But that's not you can't you won't skip it. It's such a good banger back to back to
whole
back.
album from start to finish?
I'm gonna say
Yeah.
REM Reckoning for me,
Okay.
second album.
That was pretty easy. Yeah.
I mean, I have to get back with you on this. I high pressure
High
questions,
pressure.
man. I'm scared of the scary ones. These are the fun ones.
You wanna offend people by picking somebody else's album?
Right,
You know,
yeah.
it actually, I can't,
I can tell you mine, and it'll give you some time to think about it
Oh,
if
I
you want
still
to.
gonna have to answer? We're
Yeah,
gonna have to go
yeah.
back
Well,
to
I mean,
this?
you can text me later,
That's
It's what,
great.
yeah.
I
But
like it.
mine has always been, okay, so I have two. I have Stone Temple Pilots' Purple
Oh yeah,
Album.
I feel you.
And then I have American Psycho by the Misfits.
Yeah, that's deep.
I will not skip any song from those two albums. They're such great tunes.
That Danzig singing on the Misfits?
No, that's Michael Graves this time.
Okay.
Yeah, because that was the first album after Danzig left, and they found Michael. And yeah,
I have to go check that out.
Michael did two albums with the Misfits, and then they tried to get Glenn back, and Glenn's back, I guess, but they're not touring as the Misfits anymore. But so we have one more question, and I know Heath is going to kill me for this, but this is so good. I know,
First.
man, this was hard-hitting questions. Jeff is having the breeze here with Heath,
Way smarter than me.
There you go. Yeah. Okay. So if you had, okay. So can you give me one artist, album, or song that each one of you can listen to, but you can't tell me or your family how it makes you feel deep inside your soul?
We can't or can tell.
You cannot explain how it makes you feel
Okay.
inside.
All right. I mean, I have songs that are on my phone that bring tears to my eyes.
Okay.
Let's hear it. Give one
They're
of those.
pretty silly.
Yeah, give me one of them.
Can you call out a song?
Yeah.
Escape.
Oh man. Oh. So
Or
to recap, we're coming up with a song or an artist or an album that basically touches us deeply.
yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
Jeff, he's got to think about
I'll
it,
play Fortunate Son
I'm
by.
drawing a blank, man. I don't like high pressure. I'm
You're
sorry.
talking Fortunate Son by CCR. I always thought that was. You
Love
can make
it.
an argument that's the first punk song of all time.
Yeah, that's my
It's
dad's favorite
3.5 minutes.
band.
It's fast. It's to the point. It's a great
All
song.
right. Turns out,
CCR.
ooh, I came up with one, James, and
Let's
then I'm
hear
going to forget it unless I blurt it out.
There you go. Yeah.
Turn You Inside Out, REM.
Okay.
Driving, rocking, attitude song. Plus, that's
Nice.
Jeff's favorite band, so
Nice.
I'm not gonna get
We
laughed
got to
at.
see REM about 2 weeks ago in Athens.
Yep.
Okay, so are they making new music or just touring right now?
They're not either. They broke up famously, never play again. Michael Shannon, an actor, put together a tribute
You
band.
know who Michael Shannon is? He played Lex Luthor in Superman Man of Steel.
Yeah,
Weird,
yeah.
weird looking dude.
Well, a lot of character in his face.
Well, yeah.
So he put together a cover band. They were touring out west, came through here, played in Athens. So we went, and all four members of REM showed up. got on stage and sang. All four of them were on there for Pretty Persuasion. So
yeah, they played at the
40 Watt
in Athens,
kind of
which
the
famous
before, where they started.
Beginning.
Still great.
Nice. Dream comes true. Nice.
Well, I do want to thank you all for coming on the show today. And is there anything that you want to tell the listeners, you know, where to contact you?
Go to headcoachandi.com or www.headcoachandi. And it's easy to spell. It's our names, HECOJENI. So it's first two letters of both our names.
Oh, perfect.
That's how the name comes about. So www.headcoachandi.com. You'll get new releases. You can buy merch. You can connect with us. One thing that, you know, we joke a little bit, it's work in progress. We'd love for our musicians to listen and contribute. Hey, I'd like to put a guitar line on that song.
Yeah, kind of like an open source.
Hey, yeah. I think I got a verse I could add to that song. Or,
hey, I can sing.
While he's a great singer, I might can sing better.
Right, yeah. So really, y'all are looking for somebody to collaborate more with.
We'd love to hear from people and make it a little bit more of a shared space thing. So that'd be great. So reach out to us.
Pick up that Jackson and send us some.
Yes. Yeah. I will learn it and then send you all like a riff out.
I mean, that's a beautiful guitar to learn on, man.
Man, my favorite colors are orange green, and I got the orange Jackson and the green PRS. So I'm in the works, you know.
Nice. A lot of guitar.
Yeah. Well, but I'm trying to be like, oh man, I'm trying to save up my money and get a lot of stuff, you know, like oh.
Yeah.
Become a famous musician and just like with you, but I really do thank you for coming on, and you can come back anytime you want to.
Nice.
Yeah, we'll be back. This was a pleasure. I appreciate you having us, James.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. Yeah, you too. All right. And with that said, everybody, thank you for listening, and always remember, when words fail, music speaks. Bye, guys.
See you, buddy. Awesome.